You don't have to spend much time with me to know that I'm a Disney fan. Sarah Gray and I appreciate the work of Walt Disney. March the 17th of 1967, the last theme park attraction that Walt Disney designed himself opened in Anaheim, Pirates of the Caribbean. Walt Disney died 3 months later. Pirates of the Caribbean was envisioned in Disney's mind originally as a wax museum walkthrough exhibit. But the success and the popularity of It's a Small World, which his company created and built at the World's Fair in New York, was so popular that he went back to his Imagineers, who are this mashup of creative folks and engineers, and said, I think we need to make it actually a boat ride. So they went to work making it a boat ride. A few months before the opening, they were still waiting to get to the point where they could provide the water and the boats, but they wanted Disney to get a sense of what the attraction would be like. And they took a four-wheel dolly, and they strapped a chair to it, and they pushed Disney through the attraction so that he could get a sense of what that attraction would look like. The last one he would ever design. Today, there are four more Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney parks all over the world, and they continue to this day to be one of the most popular attractions for people who visit. It spawned a film franchise starring Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. It still resonates a lot of years later with people because it touches on some commonalities among human beings. One, adventure. We love adventure, don't we? Now, we have varying degrees of the adventure we like, but we all love an adventure. We all have treasure, too. And in the Pirates of the Caribbean, the pirates are trying to acquire treasure. Captain Jack Sparrow is all about the treasure. And when we get treasure, we try to protect it and preserve it, and we hold on to it. But we all have treasure. What's your treasure? What's your treasure? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What's your treasure? If you can name it, you know where your heart is. This morning we're going to look at the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter. It's where God asks and makes a big, big ask of his servant Abraham. Abraham and his wife Sarah were beyond the age to have children, yet they longed for an heir. In their day, an heir was a big deal. And in their day, an heir meant a son. Scripture tells us that Abraham was 100. And he still didn't have an heir. And Sarah was beyond the childbearing age. Yet God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I am going to make you the father of many nations. That's an audacious promise, isn't it? But Abraham believed. And God gave Abraham and Sarah an heir in Isaac. And then there came a day that's recorded in Genesis 22 where God makes an ask of Abraham. It's recorded this way. Beginning at verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thickets he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we're grateful for this word. May you open our hearts, our minds, and give us ears to hear your Spirit speaking to us. And my prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a moving story. It's not a story I think I have to dramatize or embellish. Much like the story of classic attractions or novels, it speaks to a human connection, doesn't it? A father, the son he loves, and God saying, "Sacrifice your treasure." To our ears and sensibilities today, it sounds incredibly barbaric, even the thought of it. In the past weeks, we've been shocked and horrified of the violence carried out on children in the Middle East. But in Abraham's day, in that place, in that time where he lived in the midst of pagan culture and pagan religions, it probably wouldn't have shocked Abraham that much to hear about child sacrifice, because it was a common thing in pagan religions. But it had to do something in Abraham to have the God he knew and the God he loved and the God he served, the God who had proven he was good to his word, to say, Abraham, I want you to take your son, the one you love, and sacrifice him to me. An audacious ask. Dr. Henry Cloud has written a book on trust. He defines five things that are keys for us to be able to trust someone else fully. One of those is understanding. In order for us to fully trust another person, we need to know they understand us. Did you catch what God said to Abraham? I want you to take your son Isaac, the one you love. God understood the ask. Abraham, I'm asking you to give to me the one you love, your treasure. I understand what Isaac means to you. And Isaac was indeed his treasure. Make no mistake about that. Abraham listened to God. Now, we're talking over the coming months about listening expectantly and how that's a discipline we want to cultivate. Abraham had cultivated that discipline, hadn't he? Because God said, Abraham. And Abraham answered, here I am. He didn't say, who is that? He said, here I am. He knew who it was because he had cultivated how to listen expectantly for the voice of God. I doubt he expected to hear God ask him to do what God asked. But Abraham trusted God and he was faithful. And in the very next line of our text, we are told he got up early, he got the supplies he needed, he gathered the servants he needed and a donkey, and he set off in obedience to God with Isaac. And there came a point in that journey where the place God was leading him was visible. And God and Abraham said to his servants, we're stopping here. You stay with the donkey. Isaac and I will go ahead. But he also says, we will go and worship and we will come back. Because Abraham had faith and he understood that God understood him and he knew God's ability. See, that's another thing Cloud says. Not only do we have to be understood, we've got to know the ability of the person that we trust. And Abraham knew God's ability because he did the unthinkable. He gave him an heir when there was no way that was going to happen. So God understood, and Abraham knew he was understood. He knew God's ability, that God could do anything. He could give life when life could not be given. And he trusted in God that he could offer back that life because God could provide life even in death. And they get to that place after Isaac asks, wait a minute, we're missing something, Dad. And God said, and Abraham said, son, God will provide. And he builds an altar. And he binds Isaac and he lays him on the altar. And here is where the story proves his faith, I believe. Because if I put myself in that story, yeah, I might bind my treasure. I might lay them on the altar. But when I play that movie, knowing me, I would probably say, okay, God, we've played this about as far as we need to play it. But Abraham unsheathes his knife. And it's then that he responds again to his name, "Here I am. Do not hurt your son. You fear, that is, you love God." And there's a ram caught in a thicket, and Abraham unbinds his son, slaughters the lamb, and offers it as a burnt sacrifice to God. Because he trusts God. Even with his treasure. The God who will give life, he believed and knew, had the ability to even be trusted with his treasure to the point of it being sacrificed back. What's your treasure? What's your treasure? Is it your child? Is it the child that you had prayed for and longed for and brought other people into prayer for you? That you spent money to help find an answer to how that dream could become a reality? Is that your treasure? Is your treasure your investment account? Or your new car, or your house, or your job, or your grades? What's your treasure? Because every person within the sound of my voice is a human being, and we all have treasure. What's yours? What's yours? And when you think about that treasure, do you trust God enough with that treasure to say, "God, here it is. Here it is." Watchman Nee was a Christian writer. And Nee wrote this. He said, "We walk around as if we're little children and we're asking God for his blessing. And God freely provides that blessing to us. And before we know it, our hands are full. And we're living in that sweet blessing of God by the treasure that he's given us. But there comes a point when our hands are full and God says, 'Reach out and take my hand, my child.'" And Nee says, as human beings, our response is, "I can't. I can't because I'm holding my treasure." What's your treasure? None of those things I outlined are bad things. They are all good things. They're all gifts from God that God freely gives to us. But when they become the treasure, and that's where we find our heart, we have displaced God, and we no longer trust him because our treasures mean so much. And I don't know about you, but I see myself in Watchman Nee's example. To say, "Oh, I am so thankful for my treasure, for the things that I value and will go to great lengths to preserve. And I'm really afraid when I hear that voice that says, 'Reach out and take my hand.' My answer would be, 'I can't. I can't because they're full of my treasure.'" I pray that God's Spirit will be at work in me so that my heart is rooted in Christ Jesus and the treasures are things that are blessings in my life, but they never become my God. And I'm willing to put them down to grasp the hand of the living God who says, "My child, take my hand." Because like Abraham, I believe God understands. I believe God understands the things I treasure. And I know God has the ability to bring life where there was no possibility of life. That God's word is true and that every day God performs incredible, audacious promises that he delivers on. And I know God's motive. Another one of Henry Cloud's markers. Because in Jesus Christ, I know the deepest love any living thing can ever know. The love of a God who says, take my hand. And the hand that is offered is pierced. What's your treasure? What's the thing that you would go on a Johnny Depp, Captain Jack Sparrow adventure to preserve and to acquire more of and to hold tight to? Is it holding the hand of the living God who says, my child, take my hand? I believe that's what we're called to. And I know it is so hard in this life to lay down our treasure and to extend that hand. But it's when we do that our treasures take the appropriate place in our lives. And the true treasure of our heart is our relationship with Jesus Christ. May God be at work in each of us, not simply in a season of stewardship, but every day as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, to learn to lay down those treasures and make the treasure of our heart the desire to hold the hand of the God of all creation, the one who understands, who has the ability, and who loves us more than we will ever know. May that be our lives together in Jesus as we endeavor to be his. Father, we are grateful. Grateful for every blessing we have in this life. Father, may we be people who are willing to take those treasures, lay them down, and with open hands reach out to you. We thank you that you're willing to reach your hand out to us. In joy, in sorrow, even in our treasures. Lord, teach us by the power of your Spirit to be people who trust as Abraham trusted. And we pray together this prayer of trust in this season. Lord, in the waiting, we trust you. In the listening, we trust you. In uncertainty, we trust you. In sorrow, we trust you. In joy, we trust you. Empower us to embody your love right here, right now, in our families, our schools, our work, our church, our community, and beyond. Lord, in everything, we trust you.